The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to Tony Curry Radio, the TKR app. Of course, very easy to get through Android or Apple. And of course, one of our most listened to shows. Go Blazers! When we're recording this show here on August 31st, it is college football season. He's Mark Ingram, and this is the UAB Director's Chair. You can hear it every single week right here. We love playing this show. 11 o'clock in the morning every Monday through Friday. Of course, Central Time and wherever you get your favorite podcast. Go back and listen to all of our previous episodes and where there's a lot of classic rock in some of those episodes as well. But Mark, how you doing, brother?
Happy hey now, go Blazers!
There you go, my man.
Get fired up.
Yes.
Here we go. It's time.
So, again, as we record this show, you've got a kickoff coming up here in just a little over 8 hours. Take me through your day as an athletic director on college game day.
Yeah. Well, you know, every day in my job is a little different, but game days have a lot of, you know, different things about them too, but I usually start the day off with some promotional activity. Like this morning, I did a television interview that went live on one of our morning broadcasts here, and so you start that with 7:30. I was dropping tickets off at a hotel downtown for a person coming in town for the game from out of town, and then, you know, come over to campus after reviewing some stuff out on the field for our field markings and stencils that have just come in and making sure all that stuff is going to be looking good. And then I come over to the, you know, to the office and do some typical office work, I guess, respond to some emails and try to get some, you know, keep the department moving forward. And, you know, doing your show. I've got two more media opportunities today.
There you go.
And then, of course, I'll want to be down at the game. And it varies game to game. But this first game, I'll want to be down to the stadium. Kickoff's at 7. I'm going to want to be there by 3. So that it's amazing how fast those 4 hours will go. You know, the team walk is 2 hours beforehand. I've got another media appearance at 4 o'clock. So 3 hours beforehand. So, you know, just doing that and put my eyes on, you know, how does the club room look? Does it look the way that I hope that it will? And it usually does, but I just like to, you know, see it, see if there's anything that's different or changed. Go into the president's suite, make sure everything looks okay before the boss gets there, and walk down to my suite and the head coach's suite and see if anything looks unusual, or you never know, the refrigerator's locked or something like that. They're just always little things that you know, from one week to the next seem to change, and there's a padlock on the door. So anyway, you just try to get things set up and looking good when people show up.
There you go. And I'll have you know that my partner in crime, my 18-year-old son, who just started school at Clemson, is already in the car and on his way home. He's driving all the way back here. Just check out the UAB Blazers taking on North Carolina A&T. And you brought this up last week, the largest HBCU in the country, which a lot of people weren't aware of. Let me ask you this. I've been to a million games down there. And of course, this is the first season under Trent Dilfer. And I saw him earlier this morning on Fox 6. I was actually up at the TV station doing a hit with them when I saw him on, and he was just talking about how he's going to just sling the football, man. It just sounds like they're going to throw the football 100 times a football game, which is okay with me. But also, of course, the first season under the AAC. Any surprises from a fan standpoint who's going to be down at Protective Stadium later on tonight? Any different music you're going to be picking? Are we still going to have the motorcycle coming out?
I don't want to give everything away.
I know, but is there going to be anything you could share with us? Any? I mean, I know there's going to be flames. Are you going to have the Godzilla thing there for your third down thing? I mean,
for my buddy Tony.
Yes.
Well, you know, as you go around the country and you you mentioned your son is at Clemson. Clemson mm-hmm. is going to do the same thing, and it's almost what, you know, before their team runs out and. It's almost what their fans come to enjoy, which is the tradition, the traditions are, you know, doing it the same way. And that's really what we're trying to establish here. We're not trying to make it different every single game.
Sure.
What we've been trying to do is refine what we do in a way that our fans they come to expect that at this time, this will happen. You know, the national anthem will happen, and then the band will do their routine. And at this point, you know, they get in formation and the team runs out. And one of the cool things about tonight, though, so you ask about differences, one of the things that we are starting, and we have not done this before, is we've invited every freshman student to to lead the team through the tunnel.
Nice.
So they are going to run across the field. You know, it's not required. So, you know, some people don't want to do it, or if they have a disability or something, they probably are choosing not to do it. But yeah. We invited every freshman to lead our team onto the field. So there's going to be several hundred, maybe 1,000 students run through that tunnel before the football team does, which I think is going to be really cool. So I'm excited about that. For all those kids, and I think they are too. So, again, we haven't done it before. We love the idea. Hopefully nobody trips and falls. And, you know, there's all those things you got to think about, but that's something. So, you know, be there in the stands to watch that. And if you go, who's all that? Those are all of our freshmen. So getting behind the team and getting there early and being excited about watching the game.
That's awesome. UABSports.com is the website. Get your tickets now for the 7 o'clock kickoff later on tonight. The first college game ever coached by Trent Dilfer. That's actually kind of hard to believe, and it doesn't even sound right, but super excited for him, of course.
Feels like he's been here for 3 years.
And he's lost some weight. He looks good. I know he's been banged up a little bit this offseason, but he's doing great. He's UAB Athletic Director Mark Ingram. He joins us, and we're so grateful to have him every single week here for the UAB Director's Chair. You can hear at 11 o'clock Central right here on the TKR app, and wherever you get your favorite podcast, just search Tony Curry Radio Podcast. So FBS Commissioners and Notre Dame Athletic Director Jack Swarbrick, who we talked about last week, met again yesterday to talk about the conference realignment and what exactly is going to be happening. As of right now, the six highest ranked conference champions and then the next six get into the 12-team playoff next season. The only thing that would change as of right now, if there's not a Pac-12, would it be five conference champions, those being the highest ranked, and then of course the next seven teams. So it doesn't really change a whole lot. But Zach in Tallapoosa asked the question on here. He said, first of all, I absolutely love the show. Looks forward to listening to it every week. Ask Mark what he thinks is going to happen with a Pac-12 and what he would like to see happen with a Pac-12.
Well, the CFP meeting, you know, is interesting. It kind of continues to put an exclamation point on why the autonomy designation is so ridiculous. I mean, you've got teams, you know, look at these four teams that are sitting out there at the Pac-12 at the moment, and maybe they land a home, maybe they don't. But if everybody wanted them, they would have been taken by somebody else. And these are four teams that have been anointed with the autonomy designation. And had easier access to the CFP and CFP monies just because of the league that they were in, but not because of anything that they're doing. And I just think that's, I don't say hilarious in that I really feel for my friends that are working there that are dealing with a really difficult situation. But on a national scale, people who just, you know, lumped all these programs into a conference, it's they're part of the autonomy group. You know, Central Florida, Houston, and Cincinnati were in the American a year ago. And as of July 1, all of a sudden they're autonomy, you know, so it's kind of ridiculous. But, the 5-7 model, the math still works. I hope they'll keep 6-6. I think we'll push for that, but the math still works on the 5-7 model. As far as, you know, what do I think is going to happen? I think the four schools out there, they have hired someone. I don't know if it's the four of them collectively or one of them, but they've hired Oliver Luck, which is Andrew Luck's dad, to basically to try to help them navigate, but mainly try to keep the league together.
Mm-hmm.
And Oliver Luck was incredibly helpful to us, UAB, when we reinstated football. At the time, he was working at the national office, the NCAA office, and he and I talked, not every day, but every week for 2 years, about things that he helped us kind of slash through red tape in the national office to get us answers that we had to have to recruit players and get a few waivers that were critically helpful to us in our first few years back. So Oliver, I would consider a friend and is, I think, a great guy and, again, really helpful. So, I'm sure that he's being as helpful to them as he was to us. You know, is that realistic? I don't know. I think it's a question of, you know, who, given how vulnerable they are in the moment, who would see joining those four as a better situation than the situation that they're in? I think if there were still eight schools out there, let's say it, you know, the two the two Arizona schools and Utah and Colorado, maybe if those eight were still there, or if some combination of Washington, Oregon, and the two Arizonas were still there, that might be different for, say, one of the Texas schools or Memphis, maybe.
And let me back up just a little bit. What do you think is a more prevalent platform right now, to try to find four teams to make up the Pac-8, or just to find homes for the four teams? What do you think is what's the reference point right now on that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that comes right back to the heart of the question that you asked first, and is that. Last thing I want to do is speak about another school situation when I sure. really don't fully know and I'm not just trying to dodge it. I'm just saying, like, there are things that they know that I just don't, that none of us know, right? Yep. About themselves and about what their fans want. And, you know, I'm sure their fans want it to go back, you know, let's turn time back, you know, 3 months, and that's what we want. But sadly, that can't happen. I mean, it appears as though the more likely scenario is that those four schools are going to find new conference homes or be independent. And even if they try to stick together, you know, the Pac-12 is still together this year as yep. it was. Mm-hmm. So that's not different for the seasons that are beginning, but it's the following, you know, next summer, 24, when it all really flips. My understanding is the Mountain West schools have a $34 million buyout to leave the Mountain West.
It's crazy.
To go to the Pac-12. So it would be more financially sensible for the Pac-12 teams to go to the Mountain West or the American or any other league, the ACC, whichever league, you know, may you know, put out an invitation.
Could it be a situation where, because if you added four teams, say from the Mountain West, they went to the Pac-12, obviously you're going to have a better shot at making a national championship, because let's be honest, the competition's not there. Yeah. And the Pac-12's got that agreement with the CFP in order to get their conference champion. Question number one, could that possibly change and say, no, the Pac-12 does not have that affiliation? They're just considered a group of five conference because,
right.
Is it a situation where if they would leave and go to a Mountain West, then maybe the CFP could make an agreement with the Mountain West to take their conference champion as one of those six teams?
Yes.
Yeah.
There's all these wild scenarios.
Yeah, you know? I know, right?
And then what's going to happen in the American? Is SMU going to leave or not? I don't know. Will the ACC invite them in? And if they do, then what does the American do? Something or nothing? And if we try to invite somebody, who would that somebody be? Or do you just leave it alone? And, you know, how does that impact our television situation? You know,
Do you believe at the end of this year, or maybe early next season, when everything settles out, we'll be done with conference realignment for a little while?
The only thing that's been constant about realignment is that it's constant,
yeah,
you know, you know, and so I guess the answer is no.
Yeah.
A little while. Like, what's a little while? A couple of months, 6 months. Yeah. Probably after this, it sits still for 6 months.
Maybe by the beginning of next football season. How about that?
Yeah, maybe. But, it appears as though a couple of these conferences are trying to be as big as they can be and get to 20 or something. And, but now the ACC, there was a renewal by those institutions. I don't recall the date in July where they all signed some treaty or contract to stay together for some period of time. So, you know, it may not be as easy for a team out of the ACC to leave to go to the SEC if that's what they wish to do, maybe as they once thought. And like for me, here at UAB, I can tell you we're not going to pay $34 million to leave and go to the Pac-4. We're just not doing that. Now, I think it is intriguing. I think those four schools are intriguing. I think a lot of people see that. You know, Stanford has won the Director's Cup like 30 straight years, which means they are better than outstanding at their Olympic sports. And, you know, these decisions right now are made predominantly on football success, because television revenues are based on people watching your football games. And I'm sure Stanford wishes that Andrew Luck and Richard Sherman and those guys were were all on the field right now because, you know, when Jim Harbaugh was the coach and David Shaw's early days, they were really, really good.
Yeah, they were.
And right now they're just not what they were at that time. And, you know, obviously they could get back there, but it's a really difficult time for them to have to deal with all this. And then Oregon State and Washington State, who have a lot of proud history and a lot of wins over time in a lot of sports, happen to be in smaller markets. And so the trend seems to be, again, I don't know what's real about SMU or not, but, you know, people go, why SMU? Well, because they're in Dallas, Texas, yeah. You know, and which has incredible value.
Nice
so,
size, yeah.
And not to, that doesn't mean that SMU as an institution doesn't have value, because of course they do, but it's probably more about Dallas than it is about SMU. It's, yep. It's a combination of things, but the point is Dallas is bigger than Pullman or Corvallis. And so that's why those two schools, which historically for 100 years or however long have been in the Pac-12, now are really, you know, they just got punched in that boxing match and they're reeling, trying to collect themselves about what to do. It's a really tough situation. And the other thing is here's what people don't, I guess, talk enough about. And again, I'm not going to be specific because I really couldn't be, but I know the industry well enough to know. I know how we operate. You know, we have debt on projects that, you know, we had a certain amount of funding that we've expected to continue bringing in, let's say from ticket sales and donations that would help us operate. So we have, you know, capital debt for whether it's a scoreboard or a stadium or whatever. And, you know, imagine if you had thought that you would use your future television monies towards, you know, offsetting a renovation of your arena or your baseball stadium or your football stadium, whatever. And you thought, well, we'll have this money from the television network and we're going to carve out, you know, $5 million a year of that to pay down this debt so that we can go ahead and have this for our fans today.
Yeah.
Now imagine you're at one of those four schools and not only are they not going to have that money, they're not sure they're going to have any money. Like, they don't have the Pac-12 TV money because, well, after this year, it's just not going to exist. So what will they have? And so, you know, I mean, it's likely big numbers.
Yeah.
Eight figures, nine figure numbers potentially that they were betting on. Hey, we'll carry that note for 10 years. And for the next 10 years, that TV package will carve off $15 million a year and we'll pay that off. I mean, it could be really astronomical. And they've been paying Pac-12 salaries for a lot of their coaches. And if all of a sudden they had to cut, I mean, think about this, if they had to cut like 20, 25 million out of their annual budget because they don't have that money anymore from the TV deal, what do they do?
Yeah, that's a tough call.
How do they just pay their people?
No, you know? I mean, and you're bringing all this to light. I love the fact you're doing this because I don't think a lot of people think that far in depth. He's the UAB athletic director, Mark Ingram. He joins us every single week. The UAB director's chair, 11 o'clock central right here on TKR. Wherever you get your podcasts, we're available on every major industry to search Tony Curry Radio Podcast or TKR or UAB director's chair. Joe in Southside said, I know that Mark picks the music for the teams when they play, and normally dance music for the offense or hard rock and music for the defense. Any chances we could get that switched? And also also wants to know if Trent Dilfer's made any requests.
Yeah, Trent is a big fan of Air Supply. No, I'm kidding. Trent has not made any requests. We've gone through some stuff. Our marketing people have gone through kind of how we do it. And Trent's very easy to get along with. He's very agreeable and he has great ideas himself. But, you know, we have a really good team that's put things together. And so what I witnessed was just a lot of him going, man, that's awesome. Great. Oh, yeah, perfect. They're great. You know, you know, philosophically on the switcheroo for the, you know, the offense defense music, you know, I stole this completely from the Kansas City Chiefs. I wish I could take some sort of credit, but the offensive music, you know, I would just call it happy music. You know, you're trying to have get up and cheer and dance and it's positive music. And the music on the defensive side is more what I'd call negative music, which is angry music, all intended to have you know, the mindset and attitude of the fan be like the mindset and the attitude of the defense, which is sort of a punishing, you know, tackle them to the ground, hit them hard type attitude. And so it all kind of, there's a plan there beyond just this is the music we do. It's about the fan base carrying the same attitude that hopefully our team carries with
them. There you go. All right. And finally, ESPN has just made a deal with Cinemark to have theatrical distributions of 75 college football games in movie theaters, including 6 bowl games and the college football playoffs. This is really interesting. When I heard about this, I was like, this is really cool. And I was like, would I go to a movie theater to actually watch a football game? And I think I probably would. What's your thoughts on it?
I think it's really cool. To be able to watch a game in that kind of setting, I think it's fun. I think it's creative on Cinemark's part. Good for them. You know, will it go? I don't know. I mean, would you rather sit at home or go to a, you know, your local sports bar maybe? And then what would the setting be like? You know, like when you go to the movies, I think we're all trained to be quiet, but can you? Surely you can cheer, right? I mean, I know they're not going to tell you can't, but I think it's interesting. I love the creativity behind it. I hope it goes well for Cinemark. And, you know, you're just trying to put your game in front of as many people as you can and opportunities to gather fans. Like, I could totally see if one of our games was on locally, particularly if, like, one of our away games, not maybe not a home game, but if one of our away games was on at one of the theaters, maybe trying to organize an alumni event mm-hmm. to go there and let's all get together. I mean, any opportunity to gather your people together is positive. And so I good for them. I'm excited to see how that goes, and I hope it'll be successful.
Well, and with the SAGA thing and the writer's strike going on right now, we're not going to have a lot of theatrical releases, and it's going to be a great way to get butts and seats at movie theaters. Yeah. So, I mean, it kind of works both ways. Hey, right. Mark, I cannot wait to see you later on tonight. I know you'll be down around 3:00, and we'll be down there around 6:00, and can't wait for the big ball game tonight, and we greatly appreciate your time. We'll catch up next week after UAB gets their first victory of the year today, okay?
Yeah, looking forward to it, man. Go Blazers.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.